Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Who is the House of Israel, and do they need to be gathered? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Today we are looking at chapter 42 in the LDS Church Manual titled Gospel Principles. The name of this chapter is The Gathering of the House of Israel. At the bottom of page 245, it talks about the House of Israel was scattered. And I very quickly, I want to just read here, again and again, prophets of the Lord warned the house of Israel what would happen if they were wicked. Moses prophesied, and the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth, even unto the other. Now, as we're going to see on page 247, the Mormon Church does hold to this idea that there were 10 tribes, 10 northern tribes out of the 12. There were 10 in the north, 2 in the south. They do hold to this legend, what many feel is nothing more than a myth, and that is this myth or legend of the 10 lost tribes. So in the middle of that paragraph at the top of page 247, it talks about 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel.
It says 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel lived in the northern kingdom. During a war, they were conquered by their enemies and carried away into captivity. Some of them later escaped into the lands of the north and became lost to the rest of the world.
There's that hint to the 10 lost tribes. And they do mention that specifically on the next page, on page 248, saying that the 10 lost tribes will receive from the tribe of Ephraim their promised blessings. But let's be sidetracked on that. I want to go back to this portion here. It talks about the 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel living in the northern kingdom. During a war, they were conquered by their enemies and carried away into captivity. This is a reference to the conquering by King Sennacherib of Assyria. King Sennacherib certainly did come into Israel, and he was just devastating the cities that were in Israel. The one city that he could not capture was Jerusalem, thanks to the foresight of King Hezekiah. But anyway, the impression is given here that everybody was carried away captive, and we don't know where those people ever went. And that's just not true historically. When it talks about some of them later escaped into the hands of the north and became lost to the rest of the world, what does that mean, some of them later escaped? Later escaped after they were in Assyria? I would say no, that there were people who escaped King Sennacherib's conquering at the time he was doing the conquering. And it's absurd to assume that every one of the northern tribes was carried away to Assyria. That's just absurd. In fact, we know that cannot be the case because according to what we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 30.
Yeah, verse 6 says, at the king's command, couriers went throughout Israel and Judah with letters from the king and his officials, which read, quote, people of Israel, return to the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, that he may return to you who are left, who have escaped from the hand of the kings of Assyria.
Why would Hezekiah, and that's who is being talked about here, why would Hezekiah call on people in the north to repent? Why would he do that if they weren't there? It wouldn't make any sense. He's certainly calling upon them to turn their heart to God, to turn again to the Lord, that have escaped from the hand of the kings of Assyria. So obviously not all of them were either captured or killed. And certainly if you were going to be conquered by an outside force and you were in a smaller city, if you had any wisdom at all, you would think that if you had an opportunity, where would you flee, Eric? You would probably go to a bigger city, right?
And ones that are my brothers.
And one that had a huge wall around it. And that would be, of course, Jerusalem, the one city that Sennacherib was not able to conquer. We also have hints of 12 tribes also being in the area later on in the book of Ezra, chapter 6. It says that they offered at the dedication of this house of God 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and as a sin offering for all Israel, 12 male goats according to the number of the tribes of Israel. And we see this pattern again in Ezra chapter 8.
Ezra 8:35 says, "Then the exiles who had returned from captivity sacrificed burnt offerings to the God of Israel, 12 bulls for all Israel, 96 rams, 77 male lambs, and as a sin offering, 12 male goats." Sin offering sounds like they're still around, still sinning, and we know who they are.
Yeah, they're offering the sacrifice on the people, I would have to assume, are represented there. And there would be 12 tribes that are represented. To give this notion that tribes all of a sudden disappeared and became lost, again, as I've said, it's just a legend. It's myth. And yet the Mormon church seems to believe that it's true.
And it's clear that in the New Testament, there were certain people who knew which tribe they came from. Like Luke chapter 2:36, it says there was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. That's one of the 10 tribes that are supposedly lost. How does she know which tribe she's from?
Yeah, and that's an interesting point, because later on page 247, it says, "After the time of Christ, Jerusalem was again destroyed, this time by Roman soldiers. The Jews were scattered over much of the world. Today, Israelites are found in all countries of the world. Many of these people do not know that they are descended from the ancient house of Israel." And that sentence caught me off guard, because if there's one group of people that seems to know their heritage, it's the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this maybe a veiled reference to the Lamanite people that Mormons believe are the ancestors of the American Indian who don't seem to know that they are of the house of Israel? Because that's what the Book of Mormon says. It says that the Lamanites are of the house of Israel, according to the title page of the Book of Mormon. So maybe it's a reference to that. But then at the bottom of page 247, it says the house of Israel must be gathered.
It says the Lord promised that his covenant people would someday be gathered. And then quoting from Jeremiah 23:3, "I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them."
Now, we know that this verse out of Jeremiah 23 is talking about literal Israel, talking about Israelites, not some sort of spiritual Israel, but actual people from the land of Israel. How do we know that? How do we know that it's not just spiritual? Because of that little phrase that says, "whither I have driven them." They were driven out as a result of their unfaithfulness to the God of the Bible. God drove them out. He used the other nations to punish Israel. But then he's going to say, "I'm going to gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them." This is obviously talking about literal Israel. But the next paragraph does what I think is a little bit of equivocation here. It goes on to say, "God gathers his children through missionary work." Well, wait a minute. God just said he's going to bring them back on his own. He's going to bring them back. The ones that he drove out, he's going to bring them back. And now, all of a sudden, he needs help from the Mormon missionaries?
No, and in fact, that passage in Jeremiah chapter 23 is clearly talking about, in the next few verses, the righteous branch which he would raise up for David, and this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteous Savior. It's Jesus that's being referred to in that, in the context of Jeremiah 23.
Now, this idea of a gathering, we find on page 248, it says this, "The power and authority to direct the work of gathering the house of Israel was given to Joseph Smith by the prophet Moses, who appeared in 1836 in the Kirtland Temple." And then it gives reference to Doctrine and Covenants 110, verse 11. But if you really want to understand this doctrine that Mormons hold to regarding the gathering, you have to look at Doctrine and Covenants section 57.
It says, "Hearken, O ye elders of my church, saith the Lord your God, who have assembled yourselves together according to my commandments in this land, which is the land of Missouri, which is the land which I have appointed and consecrated for the gathering of the saints."
And in that same revelation, the saints, the Mormons, were told that they were to buy up land, that it was wisdom that the land should be purchased by the saints. See, this geographical location was important in early Mormonism for this literal gathering of Latter-day Saints who feel that they are now Latter-day Israel.
And that's supported in the 10th Article of Faith, which says we believe in the literal gathering of Israel and in the restoration of the 10 tribes.
Then on page 248, in that same paragraph, it says the covenant people are now being gathered as they accept the restored gospel and serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The problem, folks, is the Mormons don't worship and serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Isaac Jacob, Abraham, none of these people believed in a God that even comes close to the one described by Joseph Smith and latter Mormons. We have no hint that Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob believed in a God who once was a man who has a body of flesh and bones who became God at some appointed time later on. That certainly just is not the same God.
And that same phrase is used in 2 Chronicles chapter 30 that we had quoted earlier, where it said, "People of Israel, return to the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel." The Mormons are not monotheistic in the same way that the Jews were back in those days.
That's for sure. And then we look at the bottom, page 248. The physical gathering of Israel means that the covenant people will be gathered home to the lands of their inheritance and shall be established in all their lands of promise. But see, that seems to conflict with the verse they cited a page earlier out of Deuteronomy, which shows that they are supposed to go back to this specific land. And now they're going to be gathered home to the lands of their inheritance. And what is that? Because now it seems to switch a little bit. It goes on to say the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh will be gathered in the Americas. The tribe of Judah will return to the city of Jerusalem and the area surrounding it. The 10 lost tribes will receive from the tribe of Ephraim their promised blessings.
Just before that, what you just read, Bill, it also talks about how the converts to the church are Israelites either by blood or adoption. They belong to the family of Abraham and Jacob. So according to this manual, it's taken very literally that and every Latter-day Saint who becomes a Mormon will get a patriarchal blessing, and he's told which tribe he comes from. And yet they quote from Galatians chapter 3 here, which very clearly talks about how there is neither Jew nor Gentile, and yet they're making it that you have to become Jewish by becoming a member of their church.
Yeah, it's fascinating how the Mormon church has to go back to the Old Testament to try to support a lot of their positions that we know have now been nullified through what is known as the New Covenant.
On page 249, Russell M. Nelson confuses the issue for me, Bill, when he says that the place of gathering for Brazilian saints is in Brazil, the place for gathering for Nigerian saints is in Nigeria, the place for gathering for Korean saints is in Korea, and so forth. Zion is the pure in heart. Zion is wherever righteous saints are. So what kind of gathering is that physically?
I think you make a good point. The reason why they had to spiritualize where Zion is located is because even though the prophecy in Doctrine and Covenants 57, or I should say the commandment in Doctrine and Covenants section 57 says it's supposed to be in the land of Missouri, the Mormons were kicked out of Missouri, and even though they hoped to go back to Missouri to build the temple and establish Zion there, they never were allowed to go back to Missouri, so they had to change the meaning of this gathering place.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. For an electronic donation of $12.22 or more through the month of April, MRM would like to send you a copy of Rose Publishing's 10 Questions and Answers on Mormonism. This full-color glossy pamphlet is chock-full of useful information about the LDS religion. Just go to mrm.org, that's mrm.org, and then click on the Donate button and make your minimum donation of $12.22. Be sure to end your donation with 22 cents so we know you want this resource. And again, we thank you for your financial support.